appreciate serving a God like that we just heard about. There's no waters too deep or fires too hot, but that the Lord can't help us through those. Written on the board, embrace the basics. I am moved this morning when I think about the words of God to his son. You remember when he had been baptized and the words came from heaven. And he said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." Aren't those words that all of us would like to hear from our Father? This is my son, this is my daughter in whom I am well pleased. And even more so, to be able to hear those words from God, to be able to hear the words from God where he looks down upon you, upon me, and he says, this is my child in whom I am well pleased. And the good news this morning is that by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus, it is within our reach. It is within our reach this morning to be able to hear the words from God the Father that he is well pleased with us through simple faith and obedience, not through the grand or the complicated that sometimes we can make it in our own minds, but through simple obedience, through faith, a simple, open faith in Jesus Christ, we can hear those words from God the Father. I'd like to start this morning by remembering an account that has long provided many valuable lessons to people all down through the years, and that is the story of Naaman found in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. And for the sake of time this morning, we won't just read word for word. We might paraphrase a little bit. We'll read a little bit. And starting in the first verse, it said that Naaman, he was a captain of the king of Syria. Said he was a great man with his master. In other words, his master was the king. And he was a great man in the king's eyes. And he was honorable. And it said because of him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And it is thought by those that know more than I, that he very well may have been the man that God allowed to kill the wicked king of Israel, King Ahab. You remember King Ahab and how the Syrians overtook them and killed the king. And this was a man that was given great honor, Naaman was. But at the end of verse 1, it says, but. And you know, a lot of times in our lives, it seems like there can be positive things in our lives that seem to be going in our favor. But then seems like there's always these however, nevertheless, even though, but he was a leper. And leprosy, I guess, was one of the worst diseases that the Bible speaks of. There was no cure for leprosy. There was no known cure. And leprosy would attack your nerves, and then it caused skin and your limbs to eventually die and rot and fall off, and people were eventually, you know, set apart. It was a bad place to be, to have leprosy. And I just want to say this as we go through here, that we too can face places in life where we believe and we understand that there's no cure that man has for us. We face things in life where we look around and we have great need, and we look ahead to where this thing is leading me to, this thing in my life that there seems to be no answer for. And when I look ahead, it looks like, well, I could lose this and I could lose that, and I may be excommunicated and set apart, and it can look just simply hopeless for us. Well, Naaman, I believe, was beginning to feel desperate. And fortunately for him, he had a little Israelite girl that they had taken captive from Israel that served his wife, and she knew a man of God named Elisha. And she saw all of this taking place and the desperation and the place he was in, and that seemed like there was no hope for him. And she said, oh, she said, if only my master could get in touch with the prophet in Samaria. I believe that's what it said. Yes, the prophet that is in Samaria in the third verse. Then he could be healed. Well, in his desperation, he listened to the words of their little maid servant, and with the king's help, the king of Syria's help, made arrangements to go and meet this man, Elisha, to go into another king's territory and see Elisha. Maybe we'll read verse 5. It said, and the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him, get this, he took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold. 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. Now we can understand that a little better, probably most of us, than 6,000 pieces of gold. And he took all of this with him, very visually appealing. I mean, he's getting ready to make quite an arrival with all of these different clothes and the silver and the abundance of gold. He's got something going in his mind about what an acceptable arrival to the prophet of God looks like. Well, we'll skip down to verse 9. So Naaman came. Well, here he goes again. He came with his horses and with his chariots, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. So he has quite an arrival here. He's in deep trouble. He's in desperate need of something that don't know where the answer is anywhere else. And so he has his gold, he has his silver, he's got his horses, got all of the chariots, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha just sent a messenger to him to the door. Elisha didn't even come to the door himself. He sent his messenger to the door and told him, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Oh, that didn't go over very well. Naaman had so many other expectations of what this trip was going to look like. And it said that he was wroth. More than just disappointed, Naaman was offended and very angry. And he went away and he said, behold, I thought he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Did you get what he said? Behold, I thought. You know, that can get us into a lot of trouble, folks. When when we begin, when it comes to God, and we begin to start getting into the realm of where God works, and we are in desperate places because we have no answer. He got in his mind how God should do his work. And when it didn't turn out like he thought God should do his work, in this desperate situation, and go with me through this message, put yourself in places in your own life, perhaps even this morning. Perhaps this morning you have a desperate place in your life. Perhaps you have a place in your life today that you don't understand what the answer could possibly be, and you've looked before, and you've looked behind you and to the right and left, and it just seems like there's no good answer, and you're bringing it before the Lord because that's where you know to go. Be careful that you don't get in the place where you formulate in your own minds and think about, now, if this is going to be resolved, this is what it needs to look like. That's what Naaman did here. And he said, are not the rivers of Damascus, Abana and Pharpar, aren't they better than these dirty waters, muddy waters of Israel over here? Why couldn't I have gone and washed in those and be clean? Don't we do the same thing? We look around and it just seems to us that we have the answer. And yet we don't have the answer. We're in desperate place. We're in trouble. And we're going to the Lord. And yet we can't help ourselves. But we want to let the Lord know what he's supposed to do. What right looks like in this situation. So he turned away and he went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, and they probably approached him carefully. They were his servants. He was in a rage. He was turning away. He was not happy. What looked like was a desperate situation, which was, looked like it was turning more desperate in his mind, wasn't a happy guy. And so, but now his servants are coming to him and probably carefully and saying, master, if the prophet had bid thee to do something great, would thou not have done it? If he would have told you to do something that in the eyes of other people would have been really impressive, wouldn't you have done that given what's at stake here? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? So he listened to what they said. And he went down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And it says that he was clean. It's quite a story, isn't it? In the midst of numerous lessons that are in this account, this morning I'm inspired to encourage each one that is here today to embrace, to mind the basics. The simple responsibilities that God has given into your care to be stewards of. The basic things of life that the Lord has put before us and said, it is good that you should do this. That we would take them to heart and embrace them. Don't overlook. Don't underestimate the power of being faithful in those things that sometimes we might categorize as more common things that just don't look like they're that grand or maybe that important. Folks, in the end, whether what we do seems to be great, whether it seems to be small, the only way we're going to get anywhere is if the Lord gives the increase with what it is that we put our hand to. That's where the answer is. It's in the hand of the Lord. It's in the increase that He is willing to give us. And if we pay attention, if we mind the basics, if we embrace the responsibilities that God has given to us, He can turn it into something so much more. But if we make the mistake of devaluing, if we make the mistake of minimizing the importance of some of the simple foundational things of life that God has called us to do, there is so much that can be lost. We often get drawn into thinking that for us to do something grand and be something special, that it needs to be something grand and special in the eyes of other people. And that can get us into trouble so quickly. We as people are drawn to the powerful and to the impressive, aren't we? Who here likes less powerful more than more powerful? Who here likes less impressive rather than more impressive? Who likes the weak rather than the strong? I mean, as people, our human nature is made up that way. But in the end, if we don't pay attention to making sure that we've got air in the tires, that we have a battery that works, that we have fresh oil, that there's fuel in the tank, that the car is clean and ready to go, we can have all the most high performance turbos and cams and injectors and you name it. But if we've neglected those basic things, we'll be left with a car that's, or a life, if you follow the analogy, that's sitting in the driveway with thoughts of, if only, if only. And I want to encourage us this morning that the Lord would help us to resist believing from a spiritual standpoint that to really make a difference, to really be something special and grand in the eyes of God, that we're something special and grand in the eyes of other people. That isn't what God called us. He called us to a personal relationship with Him, to mind the simple things that He has given us to accomplish. Naaman almost missed it. Naaman almost missed having the power of God work through his life because he was looking to do something great. He was looking to present something grand. He was looking from a fleshly standpoint to see something and to be part of something that was greater than just the common. But Elisha, through God, required that he be humble, required that he be willing and obedient in the simple things that the Lord had asked him to do. He was asked to immerse himself completely in very doable instructions from God. That's what he was asked to do, something that all of us here could do. And God rewarded his obedience when he finally did it, just as he will reward us this morning if we will be faithful in the small things. And so this morning, while we have a little bit of time, I'd like to think about a few of those things from a practical standpoint. Be willing to wait. Do you know that doesn't seem like something that is great and grand, waiting? We're a people, in large part, in different ways, We're a people of action. We're a people who like to see things happen. But the Lord invites us to be still and to see the salvation of God. The Lord is wanting us to be willing to wait on Him, to let Him do a work in our lives. Our Sunday school lesson this morning, I think it was titled Three Days Late, but right on time, but still on time. Brother Shane drew this on the board, and it represents time. Infinity, infinite time. Could have even been more dramatic if he would have just kept on writing, but it wouldn't have been as convenient to clean it up. But if you'd have drawn a line all the way to the end and put the arrow on it, draw the line all the way to the other end of the chapel. God deals outside of our realm. He lives outside of the dimensions that we are confined to. He is present always. The future, the past, and here's time. There was a beginning. In the beginning, God created. And there's going to come a time when time will be no more. And we as people that are so accustomed to being in a time world will be flung out into infinite future. But right now, in this space of time that is just a speck in relation to infinity, here we are, a little point, just a vapor. And yet, when we pray to God sometimes, and we are looking for answers, and we're looking for solutions in our lives, we can become so anxious and fail to do what God is asking us to do, and that is be still and wait and trust and commit. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, but in the end, it has everything to do with how the Lord inserts His hand in our lives, whether it was yesterday, today, or in the future. And we get ourselves into trouble because we do what Naaman did. I thought. And then when it doesn't turn out like we thought, then we become dismayed. Or sometimes we think, and then we act. I want to encourage you with this today. Be careful in taking action until you're willing to wait. Until we are willing to wait, it's probably best that we not run when it has to do with these sorts of things. The Lord wants to bless us in our lives. Heard one time somebody was in a rush to go, and I'm that type of person. The Lord didn't bless me with an abundance of weight in my life. And heard somebody say one time, if you wait a little while, this is what the Lord told them, if you'll wait a little while, I'll go with you. I want to wait so that the Lord will go with us. Practically, these are things that we can practice in our lives, simple things. Be willing to wait. Be less ready to take action, more ready to allow the Lord to work in your life and rest in it. I want to speak about reading and praying a little bit this morning. You know, as children, we grow up in a Christian home, and we're taught to read and pray. We're taught the value of reading our Bible and praying. Maybe you've come down to an altar of prayer before, and maybe the one that was praying with you encouraged you in your prayer life, in your reading of the Word. But you know what I'm afraid can happen? I am afraid that we can underestimate the power of this because we can view it in all of the wrong way. Did you know that reading and prayer and praying is not about a task to be completed. It's about developing a relationship. I want to say that again. Reading and praying is not about completing a task. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm saved now, and so what that means is that I've got to log some reading and praying in each day so that I can fulfill my duties as a Christian. And so we spend some time in prayer. And we have words that we say, and then we open our Bibles and we read some verses and we got that done. We did our reading and praying. And in doing so, we can completely miss it. People will do this day after day, and they have all these check marks. Yesterday I read and prayed. Oh, got it done today. Checked it off today. I've been doing it for months now, and it just seems like there's no life in it. Don't view it as a task to be completed. Reading and praying is something all of us can do. It's not complicated. We may view it as just a common thing. The Lord wants us to be interested in developing a relationship with Him. Our power this morning comes from our contact with God. And if we lose contact with God, if we don't have a relationship with the Lord, then how do we expect to have any power? How do we expect the Lord to work in our lives, at work and at school and at home, and those things that we feel desperate in our lives? And yet, we have not been investing in our relationship with the Lord. Maybe we've been reading and praying, but we've been viewing it almost as a task as opposed to, Lord, I want to get to know you better. Lord, would you speak to me? Would you help me? Lord, would you give me something in your word that can sink deep in my heart and open it up to my mind and my eyes of understanding? And Lord, help me to know the way that you'd have me to go. And Lord, with emotion this morning and from my heart, I want to just pour out my heart and just tell you how I feel this morning and what my needs are and what it looks like ahead of me, Lord. Lord, how should I look at this? And view it as a special time, not as an arduous task that just needs to try to be fit in to these Christian duties that we tell ourselves we have. It is something we should do. And if we don't have that, we're going to find ourselves in a lot of need. But be encouraged this morning to invest into your relationship with the Lord. Reading and praying is a simple thing that we can all do. Embrace it. It's a basic thing that the Lord invites us to come unto Him. Come unto me, learn of me, learn of Him through the Scriptures and the Word. Don't underestimate the power of it. As you look up and try to figure out what grand big thing you can do to be something spiritually. And lastly this morning, I want to speak about mission fields. Oh, you say, well, I'm not in the mission field. I haven't been called to the mission fields. And in fact, I'm not sure really where the Lord has called me. In fact, I'm struggling. And this is real. Sometimes we can listen to these voices and feel like that we're struggling to know what our place in the body of the Lord is. And we look out and we see people doing these things that are visible and in front of people, and it seems like that what they're doing is of great importance and grand, and then you think, but then there's me. Here am I. And I just really not sure what my place is. I want to say this morning, that yes, the Lord calls people to the unfamiliar fields, to the unfamiliar mission fields, those places that are out and away from the familiar. But God calls most of us to the familiar. He calls most of us to the mission fields that are right in front of us, that we are familiar with, that are common, Do not underestimate the work that God wants you to do in your mission field, at school, at home, at work, in the worship service. Brothers and sisters, when you go out into the workplace, it is not so much about what you're doing. Well, I'm serving customers today, or I'm on an assembly line and I'm manufacturing this product, and what really does that matter? I get up in the morning and I eat breakfast and I go to work and I work all day long and I make this widget and it really doesn't seem like it matters that much to anything in life, and then I come home and I eat dinner again and I go to bed and I get up and I do it all over again, and I spend all my time getting up, and yes, I've been able to put food on the table, but it just seems like my life is in vain. Listen, if that is the way that we approach life, we're missing something special that God has for us. It's not about what you're doing at work as much as it is how you're doing it, how you are interacting with the people. It is a mission field that the Lord sends us out into the workplace to people that are hurting and undone and perhaps don't know Jesus and maybe looking for something, and the Lord sends us out. And we go out and we're faithful. We are providing for our families. We are doing our God-given responsibility to take care of that is at home by going to work. And we get paid for that and we use it to provide. But while we are at work, we are on the mission fields. Don't ever underestimate what God wants to do with your lives when you're at work, when you are at school, when you are at home. Mothers, I want to say this to you. It cannot be understated this morning, the place that God has for you, your little mission field in your house, and you've got your little children, and they can wear you out. and it can feel like that all you do is you're just washing clothes and you're washing dishes and you're wiping noses and you're trying to console and you're trying to occupy and you're trying to keep them happy and fed and get some rest and sleep in, and then it starts all over again. And it just goes and goes and goes, and you start to wonder, and you can start looking over your shoulder wondering what grand mission field out there that you're missing while you're at home doing this. I don't know what greater mission field a mother could be, but with her children, taking care of her God-given responsibility at home. Talked about the other day about the little boy that brought his little loaves and fishes and was willing to offer the little bit that he had on the side of that hill that day to the Lord, even though it didn't look like much. But the Lord was willing to give the increase and fed the multitudes. And somebody spoke up and said yes, and it was a mother at home that put the loaves and fishes in that boy's lunchbox. Who would have known that on that day, that mother that was doing what she knew to do was right, to feed her little boy and keep him provided, that he would then take that and deliver it into the hands of the Lord, who then blessed the increase and fed the multitudes. And the Lord, I believe, is willing to do that for us as we are willing to pay attention, to embrace, to mind the basics, the things that we just look and say, well, that's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal. I can't be a big deal in anything that I do. It is only as God gives the increase. And this morning, importantly, get a hold of this. There are people that the Lord calls to what maybe we would term as a non-traditional role in life. There are those that the Lord asks to take the path that's less traveled. Instead of going this wide way where everyone goes down and it seems like most people in life fit over here, and then but it seems like God has, he's got us over here, and And we're, it just seemed like we're not the same. Maybe we're not a mother at home with children. Maybe we're not out in the public workforce somewhere. Maybe the Lord has us over here somewhere. It is so easy for us to look at ourselves and feel like that the world is going on over here, and I'm over here, and I'm just an outsider. And what good am I doing? And we try to and believe that to be something, we've got to conform, to come back, to look more normal and follow a traditional role in life. Listen, the Lord has very special places for people that only they can fulfill as they're willing to accept where God has placed you in life, that you mind the basics, that you embrace them, that you don't underestimate what it is that God wants to do for you in life. He wants to do something special for you. It is only through Jesus Christ anyway. We are called to do that we know to do is right. And perhaps we are in life and we don't feel like that we have the goods on hand to be a turbocharged spiritual person in life. Listen, here's a little secret. There isn't anybody in here or anybody out there that have the goods to be spiritually turbocharged that can really get it done. The enemy uses that as a tool to either discourage somebody and say, see, you don't have anything. Or he causes other people to think that they really have something on hand, when in reality, it is only through Jesus Christ that we can do anything. The Lord wants us to pay attention, to keep an air in the tires. He wants us to pay attention to making sure that our battery is charged, that we are in contact with Him. He wants us to make sure that the oil that's in the car is fresh, that we've paid attention to reading and praying and building on our relationship with the Lord, that we may have the oil of His Spirit. He wants us to make sure that we're just keeping the filters changed and good, to keep out those things that aren't good and to let in those other things that are good, to live a simple life where we're paying attention to having fuel, that, Lord, would You fill me with what You have today? Paying attention to our bodies, that Lord, I want to be good stewards of what You've given me, so that the best that I know how, that I can go and be something for You in Your work. We can all do these things. These are all things that we can do. And yet, in a world where there becomes so many options and so much flash, we can begin looking at these things and just start to minimize it. May God help us this morning not to minimize these things. Let's be encouraged today to give responsible care to the things that the Lord has put in your care. Not way out there, but today. Care for the children that the Lord has put in your care. Don't underestimate the value of it. When you go to work, recognize that it's a mission field that you're going to. God has a work for you out there. Give yourself to it. Give yourself to doing what the Lord has called you to do without feeling like that He's called you to something minimal. The Lord doesn't call us to things except that He can do something great through us. When Naaman had finished dipping 7 times, a complete amount, no shortcuts, he was made clean in a divine way, and it had an impact on so many people. And that is what the Lord is asking for us to do today. Pay attention to the simple. I believe today that it is at the root of our calling. It is the key to spiritual growth. It is a conduit from which God works to give the increase, not only in our souls, but to those that are in need around us. And this morning, yes, it is indeed within our reach to hear those words. This is My beloved child in whom I am well pleased. let's reach for it this morning and embrace the simple, the basics, and commit and give the increase into the Lord's hands. Amen.